back to yet another episode of Through Faith Colored Lenses. You hear my dogs in the background. Today's going to be a good one. TFCL, Through Faith Colored Lenses. Yeah, today's going to be a good one, guys. We are going to be discussing... So this is actually an amendment to an amendment. I've been drinking, and I'm probably going to continue throughout this episode because that's how I process my thoughts more clearly without overthinking. So that being said... this is an amendment to the last episode I uploaded, which was the Who Are You episode. Now, keep in mind, that was also supposed to be a series, so that's one of the reasons why I'm doing this amendment. The second reason, amendment, for those of you who may not know, I have a lot of listeners from outside of the U.S. who probably don't use the same language, obviously, that we do. So I don't know, I'm drinking, so obviously you know what amendment means, but I'm amending that last episode, which just means that, and maybe I'm using this word the wrong way, I've spent too much time on this. I just need to let you know that I am updating some thoughts, maybe correcting a couple of things that I said. That I was listening back to it, and there were some things that maybe I wish that I maybe should have explained or could have explained differently. Ultimately, the like line of thinking was the same. That's not going to change, but just the way that I language that I used on some parts of it could have been a bit different. And it happens because sometimes I just I speak quicker than I think. Sometimes. I'm definitely calculated professionally when I need to be, but sometimes when I'm just like relaxed and having a conversation with myself, as in podcasting, sometimes I just tend to talk, and I forget about language and how important language is. So that's why I'm doing this. Now, before we get into that, I want to ask you guys a question. What would you do? Right. So I told you that I'd be doing this a lot. Also, that episode that I uploaded was a very... it was on the back of a very challenging time in life. There was a lot going on, both with in the world and in my personal life, like racial issues and personal issues, just with depression and anxiety and just a lot of thoughts going through my head. And so that's also the reason why I'm choosing to update this from kind of a clearer mindset perspective. But anyways, back to the question. So what would you do? A man in a trench coat approaches you, right? You're minding your own business. You just got off of work. You're about to head home. And the man approaches you. You've been thinking for a long time, man, I just wish things were different. I wish I could shake life up a bit. And here this creepy guy comes in a really nice tailored trench coat. And he offers you two M&Ms, a blue and a red one. And the blue one is an opportunity for you, very Matrix-like, to go back into your life and fix any and or every mistake that you have made, or just to make different decisions. Now, this isn't an opportunity to just like replay your life from a younger age. It's the ability to almost bring up your life in a slideshow setting and pick key moments and redo certain decisions that you've made. So that's the blue pill. And the red pill is, now also on the blue pill, keep in mind that you do not know what happens if you fix or change anything. You don't know the timeline theory from like Flash and all these other different shows where they do timeline stuff where, you know, you go back in time, you change something that greatly impacts the future. So like, you don't know what happens. It's very, very, very just up in the air, you know, in the whatever time, space, time, continuum, physics, whatever. So anyways, that being said, that's the blue pill. The red pill is you instantly get a large sum of money, $50,000. $500,000. That's not enough because most people pick the thing. $1 million. So the red pill is $1 million, right? That's a great way to set yourself up. Especially if you're good with money, that's a great way to set you up to where you don't need anything else for the rest of life if you do what you need to with that money. So anyways, those are your two options. I wonder what you would choose. I ask because I think that is a great way to determine, it's a great way to understand who people are. Those are very different beliefs and mindsets and values represented in those two options. It's a fun question that I ask people, but it's also a way for me secretly to get to know deeper parts of a person by showing me what they value and then hearing them justify why they do what they did. So anyways, Guys, with that being said, let's get into the episode. I will see you in there. I'm excited, so let's do it. All right, guys, we are now back. You are now back with me. I'm back. I never really left. I was kind of sitting here. So, full disclosure, couple of disclosures? No, that's not the word I'm looking for. Anyways, whatever. Just things to be aware of. Noises, they may occur at any moment because I did not take care of my animals. So if you hear barking or whatever, it's a part of this podcast. It just is what it is. Number two, if I get distracted, it's because I was playing the Avengers video game and it froze. Well, it didn't freeze, but I had like a weird glitch where I was fighting Abomination as Hulk. And they're kind of just locked right into like a, they're both like holding hands and they're fighting each other. He was rushing me and I decided to rush him and they like grabbed each other's hands and they're both kind of just holding each other's hands right now, not moving, which is not supposed to happen. Something is supposed to happen. Nothing happened. So it's up and I'm not going to do anything about it because it looks funny just watching them struggle, holding each other's hands and looking each other in the eyes. Anyways. That said, like I mentioned in the intro, I do like an intro. I do an intro and then like the body, kind of like how I write papers. I hope that's not weird. It's just a way for me to kind of let you know what you're about to listen to. And then also, it's an easier way to get listens if you guys don't like listening to the full episode, which for some reason people just don't do. Like I do the same thing sometimes, but like if I'm listening to a podcast, because I want to listen to the whole thing. Same thing with like YouTube. Like if you go watch a YouTube video, chances are you're going to watch like the majority of that YouTube video if it's something that you wanted to look at and you're not just like aimlessly scrolling. So I get it. There's no shade. I'm just saying. I can see how many people like watch the episode or listen to the episode for how like certain amounts of time. 100% of the people make it through the first 5 seconds, which is dope. And then from that point, it kind of drops a little bit, which, you know, whatever. People got lives. I ain't fronting. I just, you know, would like my goal. So let me tell you my goal. I don't know why I didn't do this before, but my goal is to create or get, earn rather, I guess is the better word, a loyal group of engagers, people who engage, just people who, you know, really like what they're hearing and want to talk to me. Leave comments, respond to the polls that I leave on Spotify, which you should totally go look at and respond to. As I'm recording this right now, there's other episodes that I'm going to record before this. But this one also will have polls on it as well. Just things for you to answer. And then also questions for you to respond to. It's just a way to stay engaged. And share thoughts and stuff. And that's really what I want. I don't really need anymore. And that's why it also took me so long to start recording again, because I thought that, you know, I was doing it for the right reasons, but really I just wanted an extra stream of revenue. Now I don't really care about money. It is cool to see that money's coming in through ads and stuff, but I only have one. So it's really, that's not my motivation anymore. I really just want to create a loyal group of people that I can engage with. And talk to and know that this content is doing something for. So that's my goal. And we'll get there at some point. Anyways, back to the stuff that we're talking about. So if you're here and you're familiar, I did uploaded an episode called Who Are You? And it was looking at labels. It was looking at who people are becoming and how we got there, slash how we are continuing to grow and evolve and all that stuff. And just the influences that are a part of our growth. Right. And that came because I was realized. So I had a lot of conversations and I can't remember the intimate details, but I do remember parts of, the reasoning. And it was like a conversation that I was having with someone and I was realizing that, you know, as we're disagreeing, very cordially, I might add, disagreeing though, nonetheless, about, how we address like the human condition, how we address people, how we accept and love people. And I mean, it came because, you know, I was realizing that the world's kind of the way of loving is just blanket acceptance, you know? And we've been in this frame of thought, we as in like just the society, and like this societal culture, it is one where, you know, whatever one, it's kind of double-sided. So the title of this episode is actually going to be, the title of the episode is something about like two sides of the person. I don't know yet. It's obviously going to be done when you're listening, but at this moment, I have no idea. But what I wrote down was two sides of a person, because, you know, there's always different sides of, you know, we like to think growth always kind of just looks linear, I think is how we think of it. Linear is like a just single tracked, one-sided. I think growth happens in multiple different ways, but then also from multiple different sources. You know, we don't grow linearly. We don't grow alone. We don't grow from just one, you know, source. I think there's multiple things that go into our growth, you know, parts. So to give you an example, what contributed to my growth and what contributes to my growth are things that I was taught from a child, obviously things that I've learned from my, you know, my spiritual growth and journey, media, things that I've consumed, both, you know, from books, from, you know, music that I listen to, from movies that I've watched, right? Like there's bits and pieces of just things that I've seen that I like, that I've been able to over years think and process through and say, you know what, as crazy as it sounds, those are just things that I was like, you know, that's kind of dope, right? Like the Jamie Foxx show, for instance, like there's things that he said that I'm like, yo, that's kind of funny. The way that he portrayed himself is kind of cool. I want to portray myself that way. And now it's to the point where I couldn't even tell you like what Jamie Foxx show, for those of you who don't know, is a black sitcom, very popular black sitcom show, but like in the 90s, same thing with the Will Smith show or the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, not the Will Smith show, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. There's just like parts of the humor are things that I've kind of just like adapted, kind of tailored to fit me. And I made it a part of who I am. And again, very small parts, right? Like not huge, you know, I'm not obviously not trying to be a TV character. But just, you know, different things that I see, I try to make a part of me. So I say that to say, because those are my sources and that's not the totality. I left a lot out, but that's just kind of an example. Now, what I was noticing and why I made that episode was out of frustration, because I was realizing that it seems like that's not the case. Not that that has to be the case, because it doesn't have to be. But I think that what that should, the takeaway from my example, is that there should be multiple sources, basically just keeping an open mind, right? Like there should be a lot of different things that feed us, you know, things that you don't like, you take, you know, and you throw away, things that you do like, you keep, right? I think that should kind of be a rough blueprint of how people grow. And what it shouldn't look like is why I got frustrated. And it's because society does a great job of saying, like, let me be the voice for you. And I know I spent a lot of time talking about that. So I hope you're still sticking with me. I hope I didn't lose you. My pain point in life is society labeling people and telling them that this is who you are. So I use the example of the parents. I believe I did. I didn't listen to the beginning of the story that I told, but I'm pretty sure that the reason I told that story is because because the story was that a young boy, 4 or 5, was a documentary or a story done on a family. But in this, you know, whatever it was, a family was being examined, and it was a mother and father and then a little boy. And the little boy was stated as liking, you know, what they quoted as girls' colors, and I believe toys as well, quote unquote girls' toys. Now this was still around the time where we were saying that, you know, genders, we as in society, I say we when I mean society, or I say society when I mean we, anyways, whatever, you get the point. So stick with me. So, you know, they were asking this, you know, they were talking about the son, and they said, well, we noticed that, you know, at a young age that he really was drawn to, you know, these girls' things, My Little Pony and, you know, dolls, and he liked to wear dresses and he liked to dress up in girls' clothes and girls' colors. And so when I was looking at this, I was like, did he like doing those things, or did you like doing it for him? And did you feel like he was going to be, unique and different, and that's just something that you stuck with. Because I'm 99, if not 100% sure, he didn't understand the implications of the things that he liked, right? We assign meanings to the things that kids like, not the kids. The kids don't understand that yet. And so my pain point was that I've seen that kind of example, though, all throughout society. A person struggles with something and society says, well, that's who you are then, you know. I don't know if I feel this way or this way today. I'm not using examples for a reason, but you know what I'm talking about, you know, and because so I was talking about a person that I met, and I want to be more specific about this. So let me go a bit more in depth. I was having a conversation with a transgender individual. It was a biological female who was telling me that there were just days where she did not feel like a female. Sorry. Anyways, no, I'm not going to apologize because she told me I can refer to her as her. That was this. We weren't at this point. There were no, you know, like my pronouns are this and this. And if it was like few and far between. It wasn't like a huge blast in, you know, the media. So she was, you know, I'm a girl, just call me a girl. But she was telling me, you know, that certain days I just feel uncomfortable in my skin. And, you know, I feel she was basically explaining, like a type of dysphoria. And she was saying, you know, sometimes I just feel uncomfortable in my own skin and I don't feel like I, you know, should be a girl. And, you know, I want to do things that guys do. And so I asked her, I was like, well, what do guys do? There's bark number one. I told you what happened. And I was like, what do guys do? You know? And, you know, so we got on to talking about, you know, just different types of, you know, quote unquote gender roles and, gender roles in the sense that there are none, shouldn't be any. And, we were going over, you know, why she felt that way, kind of her upbringing and experiences. And, this was in Oregon, by the way, Pacific Northwest, which, for those of you who know the state of Oregon, this will make a lot more sense as to how this conversation came to be. You know, so we're just having these different conversations and, you know, and I learned a lot more about, you know, transgender individuals, because at this point I had like come across some and I was just totally confused. I told her that I came across what I thought, I guess, was a transgender, I don't know how to say it, but it was just a guy, in a dress, had on some like kind of smeared red lipstick. Didn't look to be homeless. Could have had some mental issues. I'm not sure. I didn't judge. But I, you know, said, hey, how's it going? And, you know, smiled at him. And that person, I smelled at that person. And, you know, and I was met with just a deep frown. Now, I didn't read too much into that, but I've had that same instance a couple different times while in Oregon. And so I use those instances to kind of frame my opinion about just kind of that thing, that thing being just instance of, you know, being transgender, issue of being not issue. Anyways, shut up, Brian. You get it. You get what I'm saying. You know, that kind of just framed, and I say I let it was subconscious, but but it framed my viewpoint over the transgender experience, because I was like, well, I'm looking at these people and they don't look happy, right? And so I was trying to go talk to these people. And I say these people, I only tried to talk to two of them. I think it happened like four or five times, but I only tried to have a conversation with two, and I was met with resistance. That's not uncommon of my experiences from people in general. So this should have been something that I was aware of when I was having this conversation in the last episode of Who Are You? And it wasn't. This is one of the reasons why I wanted to amend it. So I was kind of just speaking familiarly, and I shouldn't have been. I also said some things like, you know, when they choose to become homosexual and choose to do this. And I understand for certain people, what I've been told a lot is that it's not a choice for many. And I won't say anything to that. You know, that's their experience. I believe that these are people having real people experiences. So I'm not going to interject with what I think or what I believe or anything like that. You know, what you tell me is how we're going to deal with this moving forward, right? With that said, lost where I was at. Anyways, so my experiences and the people that I've met and encountered was what framed my belief and my viewpoint and my thoughts and feelings about the topic of, you know, transgender individuals. now, back to the conversation that I was having with the young lady, and then referencing that with the story that I told you about the family and the young boy, my frustration was just that no one has loved you. No one has known how to love you. I hear a lot of, I hear a lot of, well, I am this because of this. And it's always kind of underlined by a voice that's common in society. And so that was the frustration that led me to creating that episode. Now, the things that I want to amend, one I mentioned, but are also because I don't think that I did a good job of explaining, I think, what love in that instance looks like. We it, and also the central thought is that be who you are, you're no less loving. And I think I might have said this in that episode, but if I didn't, I'm going to say it again. I know I said it at one point, I just don't remember where. Me, Brian, right now, the people in my life that I know that are straight, gay, black, Latino, whatever it is that, and whoever it is that they are, I don't love them. And or sorry, I don't, I'm trying to say, make a statement, and I don't remember how I framed it. But a lot of people say, I love you even though you're this, or I love you even though you're that, right? That's not how I feel. I don't love them even though they are, who they are. I love them, and they just so happen to be, whatever it is that they are. And I try to take pride in the fact that most people in my life know that. Actually, I don't know why I say most people, all people, but I just say most because I'll never know how people truly, truly feel. But the people that, so I have a lot of homosexual friends. Well, not anymore. I don't really talk to them anymore, but I used to know a lot of homosexual people, and one in particular would always, like, one of my closest friends at the time. I don't think he knew this, but I work with him, and he was a great deal, meant a great deal to me, because it was just very accepting of who I was. And at a point where I just didn't feel accepted by the world, I didn't feel like I had a place. He kind of just saw through that and was just very friendly to me. And there was a time where, I was trying to, like, I wanted to talk to this girl that, I really liked, thought she was cool. And but I had zero confidence, didn't know how. I was just, like, really lost. And he was just, like, helping me through that. It was such a great guy. His name is Zach. I really miss that dude. There was another dude named Lance who I who I thought was really cool, and we just had really great conversations. Challenged me, and I don't know if I challenged him because I was very shallow in my thinking back then. But anyways, so I just always prided myself in being who I was, no matter who I was in front of, and letting them know, who I am, right? Like, this is what I believe, but I'm still gonna love you. And again, loving mean you're gonna get the same one type of treatment, and also you're gonna get the same, just Brian that I give everybody else, right? Now, what I don't like though, and what I'm hating that has been happening in society, are the amount of people that don't know enough about themselves necessarily to be who they are apart from the voice of society and apart from the luring of that voice of society. So there's a lot of people who are growing and they're trying to find themselves, but they're finding themselves under the umbrellas and the labels that the world has created for them. And I don't like that. The reason why is because of the conversations that I've had. I've had so many, and I've done this intentionally to try to learn who people are and to try to get to know them more intimately. There's a lot of people who don't know how to explain how they came to be who they are, why they think the way they think, why they, the things that they've struggled with, they have no idea how to process any of that. And I think the reason is because you've been listening to the wrong voices. So I mentioned this thing called meta awareness. I don't remember the episode that I explained this in. I think it was a couple episodes ago, but I clearly don't listen to my content after I upload it. But in this, I mentioned meta awareness, which is essentially standing above yourself. So, like, picture a metaphysical you, a spiritual you standing above yourself, opening, your head, looking inside, and, excuse me, looking at everything that makes you you, the things that make you happy, the things that make you sad. the things that inspire you, the things that scare you, the things that make you angry, the things that make you dream, the things that make you wonder, the things that make you curious, everything, right? Everything. Knowing and dividing yourself, knowing exactly who you are, why you are the way that you are, and who you're going to become, right? That's meta-awareness. And I think that a lot of people need that skill. That is a talent. That's a skill. That's a gift that needs to be sharpened and honed. And that's what I'm currently working on. And a lot of people, you know, if you don't want to be that like hokey and spiritual about it, you could just call it being self-aware, right? That's just a deeper way of being self-aware. So it's not that different, but, what makes me worry is that, I think society, and when I say society, I mean, this generation, and maybe even last generation, I think this is a generational thing. And it's not just specific to this one. I think it's the one prior, you know, my generation. And I think it's going to continue happening because I'm a realist. I don't really see any end to this frame of thinking. But it is one where, you know, I'm going to be whoever, the way the world is trending is who I'm going to become. Right. And the reason why I think that's bad is because that doesn't elicit individuality. That doesn't promote individuality. That promotes groupthink. And groupthink is dangerous because of that like mob mentality where if, you know, one person hates something, you know, the controlling voice, then everybody hates it, right? So let me use an example of, I was going to say Christianity, but I don't want to go into that. So let's use LeBron James, right? Because that's an easier way where, you know, the people who hate LeBron James really, really hate LeBron James. Like I've seen some vicious arguments on Twitter and Facebook about how, you know, terrible of a person people believe LeBron James to be. That's groupthink behavior. LeBron James is a great guy, right? I don't know him. I don't know him. I've seen the things that he's done. I've seen interviews. I've listened to other people talk about him. So I can assume that he is a great person. He's built schools and funded schools. From high school and then funding the people who I think get like a 4.0, getting a full ride scholarship to the college of their choice. Right. So quote me on that because those might not be 100% correct details. It might not be a full ride. It might be like a part of it paid off, but it's either a full ride or some percentage of the college paid off. So like he does these things, right? Like in all the types of money that he's given back to this, not only just the city of Akron, but, you know, the state of Ohio and all these other things. But people will look at other things, you know, choices that he's made, you know, basketball decisions that he's made and things that he's said politically, and use that to like curse this man. You know, some people have wished death on him. Some people have wished death on his family. And I think that's a mob mentality sort of thing. There's so many people that hate LeBron James. And I've asked him, like, why do you like, honestly, why do you hate him? Like, not to get in the social media argument, but like, why do you hate this guy? And the reasons are so shallow that I'm like, yeah, you don't even know. Like, you don't know why. You haven't spent time thinking about this. You've seen other people's thoughts and you're like, yeah, you know. And that's kind of the way society makes people, you know, it strips away. And let me not only say society, but also social media. Social media is a part of society. And the underlying reason why is mostly social media, actually, now that I think about it. But it removes people's individuality. It removes people's ability to think for themselves, create their own opinions, learn about themselves and the world around them, create their own worldview and world perspective. And it basically just teaches them to go off of what other people are saying about those things. So let me do your thinking for you. And then you just spew all this stuff when it's mentioned, right? What happens with that is that just creates a cycle of, I don't want to be too rough on these people because there needs to be grace for that too, but just a lack of ability to think. You know, the brain is wildly powerful, and, you know, and it's being, I think social media and society does a great job of limiting our ability to use it to its full potential, right? I've gained so much joy for who I am, like so much love for myself when I was forced to critically think about the world around me and myself, my place in society, my place in this world, and just everything, like my meta-awareness. When I was forced to think about these things, I was like, yo, I'm a dope person, right? Like, and not only that, but then that opened me up to hearing things about myself from other people, Right. I think that's amazing. That's a gift that I think we can give ourselves by learning to figure out who we are apart from the voices around us telling us who we are, you know. And in a positive light, well, not a positive light, but a anyways, I'm just going to tell you. So another way of thinking about this is I was story time, FYI. How old was I? 17, 16, 17. I was going to a church in Michigan. And I was surrounded by some youth pastors. So this happened at two different churches, you know, where I got into the church scene pretty early and got into the youth like ministry world pretty early. And it started with me obviously just attending youth services, but then getting taken under the wings of some of, you know, the youth pastors that I really, really looked up to, really good men of God. So, you know, from what I saw, you know, and so them taking an interest in me and kind of shepherding me and helping me grow and figure out who I am meant the world to me. Not that my dad wasn't doing a good job of it, which he wasn't. You know, just having extra hands and eyes, you know, look out for me and tell me things about myself, like really made a world of difference to me. But at these two different churches, a total of one, two, three, so four, three youth pastors and a pastor told me that they see a calling on me to become a youth pastor slash minister. Now, what that did for me, who was thirsting for that sort of attention, I was like, all right, bet that's who I'm going to become, right? That was the voice around me telling me that that's who I'm supposed to be. Now, not once did I silence those voices to try to figure out that calling for myself. I just rode the hype train, right? These dudes who I look up to are telling me something that I'm gonna do that maybe falls in line with what I would like to do. I think that's dope. Now, here's what I didn't mention the last time I told this story, and here's what's the most important part of the story to note. A subconscious reason of me wanting to do this so bad and wanting to believe that that was true so bad is because I had no idea who I was, right? The most dangerous thing you can do to a person who doesn't know who they are is tell them who they're supposed to be, because they're going to believe you, right? They're going to believe whatever you tell them because they don't know, one, who they are, and they don't know how to figure out who they are. They don't know the benefit of finding out who they are, and they don't know what that journey of figuring out who they are looks like. Right. So with all of those things stripped from them, a voice of somebody that they look up to telling them who they're going to become and what they're going to do, they're going to listen. Right. Now, if you're wrong and I start trying to follow that path and it doesn't work out, guess what's going to happen? Right. One, I might blame you and, you know, not respect you anymore, or, you know, ignore everything else that you say. And or I might also, let me say, or and I might also, because this is what happened, lose my place in the world, right? Like, what am I going to do with myself now, right? Like, I put my eggs in this basket and it ended up not happening. So now, not only do I not believe that that was ever true in the first place, now I lost all this time in my life because I don't know what to do anymore. Now, that example might seem random, but that is my story, right? Like, at this point in time, I'm still trying to figure out what it is that I'm doing, you know, like I'm in a good place, you know, let me not say career-wise, but in my job, it's a good job. You know, I'm getting paid decently. It's good. I love the work that I do, and I have a lot of autonomy to create and to manage my schedule. Mostly, you know, I can kind of basically do what I want because I've built up the trust and I've built up and I don't abuse it. I honestly, I do not abuse it, you know, because I love what I do. But this isn't my career. Where I'm at now currently is not my career, right? This isn't what I was 100% made for. I think there's something else, and I'm still trying to figure that out. And the reason why is because I spent so much time believing what other people told me. So I'm going to end this pretty soon, because I also realize that I have about under a minute left. My plea to you is to think about the voices that have limited you from becoming who you want to become, because it's not who necessarily what you've been told. It's what you want for yourself. You have all the time in the world to figure that out, and it's never too late. So my plea to you is to cut off the outside influences of anyone that doesn't truly know you or have your extreme intimate best interests at heart, and figure out, go on whatever journey it is that you need to figure out who you're supposed to be or who you want to be, and follow that path. But that's all I got for you guys. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and I will holler at you next time. Peace.